how to win at spiritual warfare through prayer, part 24, praying through the Bible, message number 300. By the way, we have still a long way to go. From what I understand, we have at least 200 plus more messages to preach. But at this junction, making the milestone of 300, I feel at liberty now to take a vacation where I can actually miss preaching on Wednesday night. And after preaching on Wednesday, rather, 300 times in a row, I feel good about that idea. And so if you don't see me for a few weeks, I'm not dead yet. By the grace of God, I will return. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, pay close attention to the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice these words, praying always. As somebody said a long time ago in the Greek, always means always, and that's all always means. Don't try to fix it up, just pray always. Many, many thousands of Christians have messed up their lives and their testimony simply because they didn't obey these two words, praying always. There are many folk on the sidelines today looking in because they didn't pray always. They thought it was a game. They thought it was just something Paul wrote. He really didn't mean always. But that's exactly what he meant. How many of you prayed for somebody and you didn't utter a word? How many of you confessed your sins, your failures, and you didn't utter a word, but you know you prayed? Silent prayers. How many of you couldn't even get the words right, but you know you got in touch with God? How many of you were so troubled about a situation you couldn't even speak, but you prayed? Amen, somebody. Jesus Christ said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." How many times you prayed about something and it looked dark and grim and dim, but God came through in the nick of time? God answered your prayers. As the old saints used to say, God may not come when you think he ought to come. Some people get it mixed up and say, God may not come when you want him to come. I've changed that. God may not come when you think he ought to come, but God is always, always, always right on time. Try him. Pray always about your situation. Pray always about your mess that you have created and that you're in the middle of. And yes, God will allow you to get yourself in the mess because you disobeyed him. Start praying always and see what God will do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. All kinds of prayer. That's what we're talking about. Whatever. Praying with somebody, not praying with somebody. Praying out loud, praying silent, whatever you need to do, do some praying. Prayer is one of the most flexible things known to mankind. It's flexible. Well, however you need to do it, you can be sitting with a straight face and be praying. Nobody knows you're praying. Can somebody say amen? You can be walking down the street with earphones on, walking your dog in your sweats, and be praying your heart out. You can be on a treadmill. Everybody thinking that you're jamming to something. You don't even have anything on your headphones. You're not listening to anything but or anybody but God. And you walking and praying. You may go to the bathroom in a public place, and people think that you're going to use the restroom. You're not going to use the restroom. You're going to pray. You're going to pray. You have turned the bathroom into your prayer closet. And if you're concerned about souls, you'll leave a gospel tract. You'll pull a gospel tract out your purse and leave it on the back of the toilet or in the mirror behind the faucet. Because, see, when you start praying, you get concerned about others. Why? Because God will make you. He'll make you to be concerned about others. You're not here just for yourself, baby. Dear friend, you're here for the glory of God in others. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You need God to help you to pray. In fact, none of us would pray if it were not for God, I assure you. God is the one who put the thought of prayer in your heart and in your mind. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. I wanted to get to that word perseverance. This message, number 300 in this series, Praying Through the Bible, is a testimony to this word, perseverance. You say, well, preacher, was it easy going for you to use my wife's people's word? Was it cool runnings, their phrase? Was it cool runnings for you? Was it an IRE situation for you? To use some Jamaican language, I assure you that it wasn't. Trust me when I tell you I caught hell preaching on prayer every Wednesday. Sometimes all day long. Normally after I preached the message, there was an afterglow. And we had a grand old time of fellowship and food. But even sometimes after services, the devil kept fighting. Everybody who knows about prayer and who are actually practicing prayer and encouraging others to pray, who are encouraging others to pray, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain it to them. But those of you who don't pray and you're not serious about prayer, you have no clue what I'm talking about, because you think that, Well, how could you catch hell by preaching on prayer and actually praying with the people on every Wednesday? I can't even begin to explain to you, because you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Perseverance. If you're going to pray without ceasing, if you're going to pray always, you're going to need some God-given perseverance. You've got to do what somebody said a long time ago. You've got to stick with the stuff. You've got to hang in there. You've got to pray when most times you don't feel like praying. You've got to pray when you are catching hell and it seems like everything, the devil, your family, the church, Christians, lost people, everybody is against you. You need to keep on praying. Pray and ask God to help you by giving you the ability to persevere. And supplication for all saints. And then Paul said, pray for me. Paul thought that prayer was so valuable that he wanted the people to pray for him. Paul, the man who went to the third heaven and came back, and there were things he could not even say because it just blew his mind. He didn't feel like he was above prayer. Amen, somebody. You know, we got some Christians, you know, especially some of these big shot preachers, that they're above prayer, and yet we catch them in the hotel room smoking dope and cocaine, doing cocaine with a woman who is not his wife. They're above prayer. Get out of here. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, I know that you're there. And I know that you're here, and we have been at this moment, Lord, now together 300 times. And almost, Lord, as you know, all 300 times I have quoted my life's verse, it is not by might nor by power, that is, it is not our strength, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. And we pray again tonight that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, or rather today. And Lord, use a wretch like me, use wretches like us, to glorify your holy name by your grace, and to encourage the saints to pray and the sinners to be saved. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, and his demons and his hosts, and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and pride and stubbornness, Lord, from this place and from the people who have those issues. Hold them at bay once again, and Lord, hinder them from hindering us, and block them, and throw out their wicked, evil, demonic plans. And Lord, I pray that your holy word, your holy gospel will go forward. And Lord, in this age of high technology, Lord, once it is spoken and once it is placed, it goes all over the world. It's going all over the world now, live, multiple languages. And then once it is posted, it is on demand for anybody to listen to. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for all of my family who has stood with me throughout these 300 messages, and who have stood me with those especially who have stood with me with pure hearts and great attitudes and spirits. It has been a struggle, and we have caught hell from the devil, but you gave us the victory each and every week. And I thank you, Lord, for the thousands of folks who have listened live and on demand. I don't know, Lord, it may be a million now or two, I don't know, but Lord, you know. And we pray, we praise you, and we thank you for them. And we pray that they would pray without ceasing and pray always. And Lord, as we have always prayed, pray that you'll save those who are lost. And grant me your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel once again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray, to challenge you to pray, to use the terminology of some of my preacher friends, I dare you to try them in prayer, to exhort you to pray, and yes, even to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you are a millennial and you don't know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because you don't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, I'm talking about the God of your grandmother, the God of the Bible that's on her nightstand, and the Bible that some people still have as big as this pulpit sitting on the living room table, and your grandmother will dare you to touch it if you're not going to be serious about it, that has, by the way, your name in the front. Because back in the day, they used to put people, the children born into the family, in the front of the Word of God in the Bible. I don't know why they did that, but it's all right with me. Talk to your grandmother. Your mother may not even know this God in this day and time. For not only have some millennials lost their minds, whatever that generation is above the millennials lost their minds first. Just yesterday, a young man lost his mind a long time ago. His dad and his mother, and if you look at the picture with a straight face, had to take their son to court, and I knew they were going to win. Their son, 30-something odd years old, to court. I'm sure they tried to pray him out of the house. And evidently, God must have given them an answer. Here's what you need to do with this boy. Take his behind to court to evict him. Since he doesn't understand parental words, to evict him out of your house. That's right, the father and the mother took his behind excuse me to court because he didn't want to work, talking about he was too busy to work. What? See, this makes me almost lose my mind up in here. Because I would have had some words for that boy. My first word, and I don't care if he's white, my first word would have been said, my first word would have been rather, you see, I'm already almost apoplectic about it. The first word that would have come out of my mouth would not have been, God bless you, son. It would have been, Negro, please. Negro, if you don't hurry up and get out of my face with this foolishness, God would have to help me. I mean, he didn't want to work because he was too busy doing what? Laying down on my couch in the house. And let me tell you something. His parents, these are some white folks now. His parents, his dad and his mother had a straight face. They were serious. He was grinning, but they were not. And then he had the audacity to open up his mouth and say he quit college, going to college, because it was too hard. I would have said, Negro, get your stuff. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, son. But Negro, get your stuff. We going on a trip. Are you kidding me? You say, preacher, that don't sound so nice. Oh, it's what Dr. James Dobson called tough love. Boy, when your mommy wants you to leave, you got to go. And I'm sure they prayed, see? With Negroes like this, I don't care if they're white, black, red, or yellow. With Negroes like this right here, you can pray. You can talk to them. But God will give you an answer as to what to do with them. He said, I saw a picture of the house. It was a big old house. Why couldn't he stay there? Because his dad, and I assure you, most of all, his dad wanted him to go. And mommy went along with it. For as they were in court, they were not playing. They were not grinning. They were fed up. You remember when your mother used to say, I'm getting fed up to here? They were past that. They were fed up to their hair. Let me think. I think he was bald headed. They were fed up to the top of their head. When white folk got to take their child to court, they're serious. God has answered my prayer. This is a good idea. We're going to evict him. And I knew they were going to win the case. All parents know that they'll win a case like that. But be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible, which is in the process of being revised and added to. So far, by the grace of God, we have completed 299 messages in this series. This is message number 300, titled How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer, Part 24. Now, some of you are saying, Preacher, I thought you were going to come out with a new special one-time message for this 300th anniversary, if you will. I was not led to do that because I cannot imagine preaching on something more important than prayer and spiritual warfare. Because if you are a born-again Christian and you're not playing and you're praying, you're in the middle of it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we have considered the types of prayer that we should employ in spiritual warfare, we have discussed and we have talked about, we have preached on the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of request or supplication, all kinds of prayers, what we're talking about, the prayer of intercession, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of worship, the prayer of consecration, private prayer, silent prayer, the prayer of forgiveness, the prayer of contemplation, and praying in the Spirit. That was a part one and part two. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to look at another form of prayer, the prayer of fellowship. The prayer of fellowship. Have you ever been alone in the car, at work, or at your house, and you wished that you had someone to talk to, someone to share that time with, to pray with you? My wife, Marika, and I wrote a series of novels on prayer, and I believe one of the titles of the book is, I Need Somebody to Pray with Me. Well, we all have somebody to pray with, don't we? God is with you wherever you go. Believe that. Please understand that. And know that when you're doing good, like praying, but also when you're doing evil. The fellowship might be broken if you're doing evil, but he's there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Now I can stop preaching right now. That's enough for you right there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God gave me a word, if you will, which is a popular quote online some years ago. And I said something to the effect, the thing about prayer is that you can do it at any time. Amen, somebody. You don't have to get ready for prayer. You don't have to do like most of us, and we got to get ourselves worked up to pray. Everything has to align just right and perfect to pray before we pray. No. You can pray in your pajamas because God is there. You can pray, and sometimes you better pray in the midnight hour when you wake up to go to the restroom. You better pray in the middle of the night. You don't have to wait for a certain time. You don't have to wait for the pastor. You don't have to wait for the deacon to lay hands on you. And by the way, let me tell you something. You need to be extremely careful. Now, this is free, if you will. You need to be extremely careful who you let lay hands on you. In fact, I would encourage you to stop letting everybody and their mama lay hands on you, because they may be laying demons on you. Now, that's free. That has nothing to do with this message. That's not in my notes. It's not in anything I was going to say. But you need to stop, including preachers, because laying on of hands is a very serious matter. And if they have demons in their lives and soul ties and all kinds of other satanic garbage going on and sin in their lives, they'll pass that stuff on to you. And you start saying things and doing things you never felt before, never thought before. It's a very serious matter. Stop letting everybody lay hands on you. You sit down in your chair and lay hands on yourself and pray, which does not mean much at all. Just pray. You don't need a whole bunch of folk laying hands on you, knocking you out. I hope some folks have learned some folk can lay hands on you and literally knock you out. Your head fall back on the pew. You're going to be knocked out. And by the way, this lady was not the only one who's been injured in church. I recall one time a man was singing and shouting and getting happy and tried to jump the banister over the pulpit and caught his foot, fell flat on his head. We had to take him to call the ambulance. Are you kidding me? Listen to me. I don't believe the Lord told you that. You see, back in the day, people were so aware of this, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you millennials don't have a clue. Back in the day, in church, if somebody started shouting and getting happy in church, the ushers and the nurses, you see, back in the day, we had nurses in the church. What do we need nurses for? Did Jesus have any nurses around him when he was preaching? But they were nurses. These were nurses. Nurses, aides, or whatever. And they were all dressed in white. They had their white gloves on. And they would surround you in a circle and hold hands together lest you fall and hurt yourself. And they had a poncho so that if you fell and your panties started showing, they'll throw that poncho on you. They were prepared for activity that should not even be happening in the church. That's all free. Be careful. Don't you get mad at me. I was raised in the Baptist church and the Pentecostal Holiness church, both. I know what goes on. And they both need some of each other. So you charismatic folk, don't get mad at me. My dad was called as a Baptist preacher and died as a Pentecostal Holiness bishop. My mother is still a Holiness preacher to this day. Don't tell me. Don't let everybody or anybody lay hands on you, because you're going to pick up, if you're not careful, some demonic spirits and some sins and some evil speaking, evil words get into your spirit from that person. Don't you tell me, I know. That's all free. I was not planning on saying that, but that's for somebody. And you can communicate, ladies and gentlemen, with God through the prayer of forever fellowship with God. But you must be in fellowship with God. You can't be living in sin and think that you're going to have that privilege of praying to God like that and thinking that God's going to hear and answer your prayers, unless it is a confession of sin and a will to repent. And that's right, I said will. God is not going to just sweep you up and just sweep you out of that shacking up situation with Bo Peep. No, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make some moves. You might have to get some girlfriends and the popo to go by the house and get your stuff. Because Bo Peep ain't going to let you go easy. And if you don't want him to find you, don't call him and tell him where you are. Well, I can't get many amens, but that's all right. Don't be passing by the house talking about you were in the area and I left something. No. You can't be living in sin and be praying to God at the same time, expecting God to confess your sins. We have many Christians who believe that, and that's not the case. God is blessing me right now, and you shacking up, and you full of hell and the devil, and you hate everybody in the church and outside of the church. And God is blessing you right now because you went in debt and bought a car. No. Don't put God on that. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Amen. I like that real good. One of the reasons why I like that, that's what the old saints used to say at the end of the services. See, back in the old days, they had what they call a benediction. You say, "Well, preacher, why did you like the benediction so much? I thought you hated church." I loved the benediction so much because it was the end of church. That's why. I love that word, benediction. When the preacher says, "Let's have the benediction," I say, "Oh, great, wonderful." Oh, I paid attention to the benediction. I didn't pay attention to anything else, but that benediction, ha, 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 woo! That got me happy. That got me happy. I like it. I like it. Allow me to share that with you again. I like that. I like it for a different reason today, though. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Amen. I like that for different reasons now. Oh, that's real good. That's a wonderful thing. For those of you who are depressed, hide that in your heart. Those of you who are defeated, hide that in your heart. Those of you who have been forsaken, hide that in your heart. Those of you who look to the left and look to the right and there's no man and there's no woman, hide that in your heart. The God who will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, hear me well. Friends will forsake you. Oh, yes. And if you understand what's going on, that'll be the best time in your life. There are some friends that need to go away before God sets you up and does some wonderful things in you. I know I have a witness. I know somebody knows what I'm talking about. The best day of their life was when somebody you thought was your ace boon coon forsook you. And if they forsook you, they never really knew you in the first place. Because true friends will stay with you through thick and thin. And by the way, I've told you this before, I'll tell you again, God's not going to give you no more than two or maybe three good Ace Boone Coon friends. Let God give you your friends. Stop going out being an evangelist for friends. I'm reminded of a preacher who said he invited a man to preach in his church because he wanted to be his friend. That's so ridiculous. Let God give you your friends. Because once God gives you your friends, they'll never leave you. They'll never forsake you. They love you. They'll tell you the truth and still love you. And they'll tell you the truth because they love you. And when you mess up, they'll be right there with you, helping you through it, guiding you through it. But there's somebody greater than those friends. And by the way, family members will forsake you. Family members will leave you, turn on you, turn against you. Anthony Hopkins, one of the greatest actors of all time. I don't know what the deal is, but it was revealed on yesterday that he has not spoken to his only daughter in 20 plus years. He frankly said, I don't know if I have a grandchild or not. And you'd be amazed, my beloved, how many families are like that. Have not spoken to each other in 30 years. Have not spoken to each other in 20 years. And God puts people on their minds, and they still won't call. They still won't write. They still and don't be doing well. Don't make a mark in the world. They'll never contact you. Oh no. No. Only time you hear from these friends, these frenemies, and these family enemies is when you're down in the dirt. You have fallen and you can't get up. Oh, they'll contact you then. They'll gather around. I was so concerned about you. What happened? They just want to rub it into you. They just want to rub it in. They just want to gossip about it among, you know, that family network, that grapevine in the family. Yeah, I thought he was doing so fine, and I heard that this happened. What happened? You don't need friends and family members like that. Get as far away from them as you possibly can. They can't applaud when you do well. But when something happens, something negative, and it will, they all of a sudden out of the woodwork, they'll try to contact you on Facebook. They'll try to email you. They'll come by your house unannounced. They'll try to get your number. I was just concerned about you. If you were concerned about me, why weren't you concerned about me when I was doing well and you saw my name in the newspaper? Why didn't you applaud and congratulate? Get out of here. But see, God is not like that. The Greek word translated as communion in this verse is more often translated as fellowship in the New Testament. It also means association. It says community. Means community or intimacy. You can have all of that with God through Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing when you can be in the shower like I was recently, and you can be praying to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to have some clothes on when I pray before God. Always. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. I always wanted to have a shirt. I have rarely prayed without a shirt on. I don't know where that came from. But God, I answered the call to preach a long time ago, almost 40 years ago, finally after months of fighting it, because you have to understand, the last thing on earth I ever wanted to be was a preacher. Everybody in my family knows it. All of my friends back in those days knew it. That's the last thing on earth I wanted to do, was preach. So your seeing me up here is a miracle of God. God knows it. I fought him for several months, at least for going on 4 months. And I finally submitted to the call to preach while I was in the shower at the locker house dorm room on Keesler Air Force Base, I believe, apartment 316. I mean, God was calling me heavy. He was on me very tight. You know, God, you understand, you, whatever he wants you to do, you're going to do it, okay? Because he's not going to give up on you. I mean, you're going to do it. He has a way about him like that. You're going to end up submitting to it. Yes, you will, if you want peace. And I accepted. I didn't receive the call in the shower. I accepted the call. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. In the shower. The next time I prayed in the shower was not too long ago. And I just prayed a short prayer. Intimacy. It doesn't matter the time or day. Makes no difference where you are. You can pray to God. And he'll hear your prayers. The prayer of fellowship. We ought not to only run to God, my beloved, in prayer when we are in trouble. But we should run to God, but not make sure it's not the only time you go to God in prayer. And if you're sincere, it won't be. He wants to hear from us at all times. And see, God's not going to let you play him like that. Number one. You know that. God is not going to let you play him like that. Now, he'll let you get away with a little stuff in the first 2 or 3 years. But after that, No. You're not going to play God like that, man. The only time you come is on Christmas and Easter. The only time you come is when you're in trouble and you need something. No. God will rap back on you and say, I knew you would come running. Where have you been? So glad to see you. I love you. God will allow trouble to hit your life to make you pray. God has a way to make you pray now. Oh, yes, he does. In every season of our lives, we ought to pray. I had multiple graduates this past weekend, like so many other parents, from college, and what a joy that is. And we celebrated, and we gave God the glory, and my children thanked me. And I'm a hard father. I'm a disciplinarian, and the only disciplinarian they know down through the years. And it's just a blessing when the children write back and say, thank you, Papa, for all you've done for me. And thank you for allowing me and helping me to see this day. It's beautiful. And we celebrated and we took pictures and this and that and that and this. You know how it goes if you have college graduates. Then I shared with them a text later on in the afternoon. I said, as I've taught you down through the years, that even on great, exciting days of celebration like this, be prayerful, be sober-minded, be vigilant, be watchful. Don't go with anybody to a restaurant or to a hotel room or anything like that in your excitement. Stay prayed up. Be vigilant. Stay focused. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, but watch yourself. Because so many people have been killed partying right before they graduated, the night they graduated, or after they graduated. It's important that you enjoy your life, but you live to enjoy your life another day. Don't lose your wits about you. And wake up with somebody on top of you, raping you, or killing you. And you just got your fourth degree on your way to your PhD. Many, many people are losing their lives over foolishness. Three beautiful young ladies celebrating, getting ready to graduate from high school, are dead today and are already in the grave. Could it be that somebody is not praying? Everybody is celebrating, and nobody celebrates like moi. No one loves celebration like me. But I have learned down through the years, let's celebrate and have a good time. Because it's all right to have a good time. It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. God wants you to have a good time. But while you're having a good time, keep your eye, at least with your periphery vision, on that devil over in that corner, and therefore keep on praying. Amen, somebody. Always. Because as soon as you drop your guard, the devil's going to pounce. And you'll be at the hospital in a few minutes. God is a friend who you can talk to about everything, and things that may even seem insignificant to you. But you can talk to God about everything. I cannot explain it, but you can. I don't know how God does it, but He does. He cares about you more than that. He loves you. And I don't understand why. He enjoys it when you fellowship with Him through prayer. Amen, somebody. Some have even called fellowship. Some have even called fellowship not asking for necessarily our needs, the prayer of fellowship. The main purpose of prayer, Witness Lee wrote, this is one of my mother's favorite authors, not mine, but one of my mother's. He said, when we enter into God's presence, we must consider fellowshipping with Him to be of primary importance, not just asking for what you want. You understand that? We should not begin with petitioning. Rather, we should first turn our spirit toward His face and seek His face, and wait for His operating, enlightening, revealing, anointing, infusing, mingling, feeling, and saturating. Wow, he said that, didn't he? I like that. We should also, he said, let the Lord expose our, here we go, weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes, if you will, our shortcomings, because in fellowship with God, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak to you about those things that he wants you to deal with so that the fellowship can go deeper. Can somebody say amen, if you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Can we mention to the Lord the things that we want to pray for? Let me help you. Some things that God will bring up when you are trying to pray to him in and through the prayer fellowship. He will ask a husband, are you right with your wife? Do you love your wife as you should? He will ask a wife, do you respect your husband? Was that little attitude you just displayed, is that what I want you to be doing? Are you right with Deacon Gerard? Seemed like y'all had a little thing the other day. You don't want to speak to him anymore. He's your deacon. I heard you at dinner time just roast the pastor. You just roasted him. You said some ungodly things about the pastor and what he is doing, what he's not doing. You think that's right to share all of that with your wife and children, your little children? Is that what I want you to be doing? God, he'll remind you about a bill. You know you need to pay somebody. Some money you need to pay somebody. Did you take care of that? I want you to take care of that first before we have some real fellowship together. But God, I know about all these sins and failures on my part. I didn't come to you, Lord, to talk about those things. I came, I'm going to talk to you about these things because we can't fellowship like that real good, okay? So I want you to confess these as sin to me as I have pointed them out to you, and I want you to fix it. I want you to fix these things. Okay, will you do that? And then we can have deeper fellowship. Amen, somebody. Well, God's going to do that. And see, folks, listen to me very carefully. I told you this a few weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. That's one of the reasons why most people don't pray. Because as soon as they start praying, they know the evil that they're doing that is contrary to God's will, and God does not like it, and so they don't even try to pray. Because they know that they're going to be confronted by God regarding their evil. Can somebody say amen? I know you're not going to be loud about it because you're guilty. That's why you don't pray. That's why many people don't pray, because this is the part that they say is so hard, because it just seems so hard and so dark and so difficult to pray. No, it's not hard to pray. You don't like what God is doing to you when you're engaged in prayer to God. Things just come out of nowhere into your mind. People that you have hurt. The woman that you're having sex with is not your wife. The lie about that to your wife, and your refusal, sir, to tell your wife that you and Mrs. Jones had a thing going on. Same thing vice versa with the wife and the husband. Every time you pray, you're so spiritual. May God bless your heart, your little heart. You're so spiritual. You think you can go before God knowing that you got a thing going on with Mrs. Jones. And you're so spiritual that you think you can just cover that up and lie about it and think God is going to hear your prayers and have wonderful fellowship with you. I got news for you. That's not happening. See? And that's what makes prayer hard, and that's why you don't pray. Because when you engage in prayer to God, with God, God is going to engage with you. And he is not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. But he's going to tell you to deal with this. And he's not going to do it like I just said it. It's going to be soft, quiet. But it's going to come up. And then God, and see, another reason why folks don't want to pray is because when God does that, sometimes if you're not getting the message real good, God will have, he'll have a thing to appear in your mind. It'll be the back of somebody's head, and you'll say, who is this? And then he'll turn it around. Whoop, there you go. That's the person I want you to deal with in case you don't understand. Right there. That's your mother. That's your father. That's your former pastor. In fact, you got three pastors that I need for you to go back and get things right with, because you ran them down and talked about them like a dog to the new pastor. Lied on all three of the other pastors, and you've been church hopping. Okay, I want you to go back and apologize to them. And here, boom, boom, boom. When you start praying, these faces come up. God wants you to deal with it. Some of you are not truly blessed by God because you have left churches, listen to me very carefully, and you left them wrong. You left them bitter and mad as hell over nothing. And you have lied to get in other churches. You lied, and these sorry pastors have received you. Don't write me. Don't get mad with me. And every time you try to pray, God says, you did this pastor wrong. You did this pastor wrong. You did this pastor. And they come up every time you pray. You did your wife wrong. You did your husband wrong. You're doing your wife wrong right now. You're doing your husband wrong right now. Now you trying to pray to me and fellowship with me? No, no, no. It does not work that way. God's going to get on you. God's going to deal with that. Oh, yes. It's not even a matter of the prayer being answered. The prayer's not even going to get through. Oh yeah, that's why people don't pray. They are full of hell and the devil. They're full of evil and meanness and anger, bitterness. All that will kill prayer and make prayer painful. And that's why you don't pray. It's hard. It's not hard, but it is hard, because God's going to start stepping. As soon as you say, Holy Father, bam-a-lam, he's going to start stepping. Okay, then first of all, deal with this right here. By the way, when was the last time you gave the amount of money I told you to give to the church? Okay, because now you done robbed me. So I am personally offended. Well, Lord, you know I had some bills to pay and so forth and so on. No. You stole my money. You stole from me. So deal with that. Go to your bank. Get the money out. You owe me $360. Go ahead and give it to the church. Well, Lord, I was thinking about doing it on Sunday. Today is Thursday. I don't care what day it is. I give it to them now. The church will receive it. Send it by mail or whatever. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, the prayer of fellowship is one way by which we fulfill the command to pray without ceasing. In fact, it is the way. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing if you're willing to confess your sins and repent and stop thinking that you all that in the bag of chips, because you're not. I don't care how pretty you are, how educated you are, or what theological school you went to. That does not mean a hill of beans. Stop thinking more highly of yourself and think very low of yourself. Humble yourself down. All these preachers and all these big names out here acting like they are, oh, I'm, how dare you accuse me of doing something like that? I would never, because I am who I am. And that's why you're going to jail. And that's why you're losing every reward, every award that you have received, Bill Cosby. Because you believed your own hype, man. Nobody believes that about you. You're not perfect. We got Christians like that, all high and mighty, thinking that they all that. And they're nothing without God. Please at least acknowledge that you're capable of doing something wrong. At least acknowledge that you are tempted with evil. I was talking with someone the other day and asked them, are you even tempted with some things? Oh, no, sir. No, no. Everybody's tempted. Be vulnerable, be real, be authentic. You can help a whole lot more people, not by bragging about your weaknesses, but acknowledge that you're weak in certain areas. No one believes you're holy and perfect. You're the only one who believes that. Foolishness. We remain ever in God's presence, sharing with Him and receiving from Him moment by moment through the day. We open ourselves up for Him to work in us, overturning the stones in our lives to expose the rot, amen somebody, and the corruption in our wicked hearts. The reason, I want to say this again, the reason why you don't pray is because you don't want God to expose the rotten, evil, satanic corruption in your wicked heart and life. And God cannot hear your prayers. God cannot bless you if you're not willing to let Him do that. As soon as you engage God in prayer, He's going to start turning over the rocks. Bam! Deal with that. Deal with that right there. Okay. We can fellowship and talk and pray and all of that together. And I'll answer your prayers if you deal with this right here. Okay? If you will, here's my prayer to you. Here's what I want you to do. And by the way, prayer is a two-way street. Okay? Understand that. Prayer is a two-way street. It's not going to be just you talking to God. God's going to talk to you. Here's my request of you. Do this right here. Get your heart right with your father and your mother, and stop being bitter towards them, no matter what they did. You and your husband separated. You be the one. You might not even be the party who is in the wrong. Get this back together right here for those four little children's sake. Get this marriage back together by any means necessary right here. I don't care if you're not wrong. Work it out with your wife. Work it out with your husband. Do what you got to do. Because these are vows you made to me, not to her, not to him. And if you can't do it for yourselves, do it for these children. And I'm not going to say God would say this, but God has done this, and that is this right here. You don't get yourselves together, I'll bless you with these children to take care of. Y'all don't want to take care of them, you don't love them, I'll just bring them home to me. Because God always has them in the first place. Okay? And he's never hurting. You will be hurting if something happened to those children. You want to play games? Look at what the devil is doing with a beautiful woman the other day. Look what the devil did in her mind. She loved that child. Look at me. Listen to me very carefully. This is what the devil will do to you. If you don't get things right, you don't get your heart right, somebody does not humble themselves down, the devil will push you to push your little 3-year-old, 4-year-old child off of a roof, off of a building, off of a hotel building. Now I'm getting on up there in age. I don't even know. Listen to me carefully. I don't even know how to get on top of a building. This took some planning. Push the child. Some people thought that she jumped with the child and they hit the ground together. No, no, no. She pushed the child because she was not going to let him have her husband have full custody or whatever. And then she jumped. Rich, beautiful, got what you want, notoriety, fame, none of that will keep you if the devil get a hold of you and of your mind. That's what the devil will do to you, people. If you don't pray to God and stay in fellowship with God. For you see, we open ourselves up for him to work in us, overturning the stones in our lives to expose the rot and corruption underneath so that he may fill us anew and make us more like his son, Jesus Christ. This moment by moment abiding with the Lord prepares us to face the attacks of the devil with steadfastness and courage. And yes, faith in God. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand on this beautiful 300th Wednesday, preaching the Word of God on prayer every Wednesday for almost 6 years by the grace of God. And I give him the glory, the praise, and the honor. And may I encourage you, dear Christian friend, stop playing and start praying, because we're living in perilous times. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day. Lord, I may not see the 500th message. Lord, only you know that. Lord, I pray that if I don't do it, that one of my children will carry it on. But Lord, I praise you and thank you for allowing me to see this day. It's a testimony to your faith, your power, rather, and the faith that you put in our hearts to have in you. And I give you the praise, the glory, and honor. And I cannot say that enough, because I know, and everybody who's here right now knows, and many out there all around the world, they know too, that only you could have done this. So many things had to happen. So many devils and demons and Judases had to be blocked. And Lord, you paved the way for us. And it is a joy and a privilege to see this day. And Lord, I thank you for the thousands who have been inspired and encouraged to pray. and for the hundreds who have gotten saved over these almost 6 years. And Lord, we pray that before we leave here today, that your Holy Spirit would work mightily in us, through us, and that the gospel would be preached clearly, and that other souls would be saved, and Christians would be revived and encouraged and on fire about praying to you and fellowshipping with you again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as I have always done in every message, I never preach a message because God has called me as an evangelist, and it's just a fire shut up in my bones that I have to share the gospel. It's not anything I try to do. I don't say that every pastor ought to do it. I cannot imagine preaching anything without sharing the gospel. And so, dear friend, if you're with us today, wherever you might be in the world, you might be in Cambodia. A lady got saved in Cambodia through the preaching of the gospel here. You may be in India. We have thousands of friends in India who listen. All across Africa, of course. All across Europe. And Japan, China, Russia. Almost every time I preach, we have folks listening and watching live from Russia. If we don't have anybody else, we got some folks from Russia for some reason. And so we thank the Lord for all of these people and all who have prayed and written in and prayed the prayer of salvation, asking God to save them and have written in, and those who have gotten saved and didn't write in. And we pray for all people to come to know Christ as Savior. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, in other words, if you were to die today, you would go to hell, you would go to the lake of fire, and you would not go to heaven if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. But if you want to be saved from hell and saved to heaven, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But first, please understand that you are a sinner. And as I am, as the Pope is. And that you have broken God's laws. As I have. And everybody else has. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin, the Bible states in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically. I'm dying right now. And you're dying right now. We don't want to admit it. We think we're very important. But we're dying, folks. And you know it's not something normal for us to die. Look how beautiful, how powerful, how intricate the body is, the brain is. This great, wonderful creation that God has made. Dying, it just was not supposed to be. We were built to live forever, but we messed up. We have sinned against God. We have done evil in God's sight. And so we're dying physically. When we die, our soul, our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you're not saved. You're living in sin. You have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. If you don't believe that there's a lake of fire somewhere, just turn your TV on to CNN or to Fox News or to MSNBC or CBS, ABC, NBC, whatever, and they will show you lakes of fire, rivers of fire coming out of the earth. Fire so hot that even when it hits the water, it seems like it continues to burn for a while. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now you say, "Preacher, please don't try to scare me." No, I'm not trying to scare you. If you see that fire coming out of the earth and flowing like a lake and like a river, if that does not scare you and you're not saving, if that does not scare you, nothing I can say can scare you. Well, you say, "Preacher, who will go to the lake of fire?" I'm glad you asked that. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "These are the people who will go to the lake of fire and others, but the fearful," people too afraid to get saved because they are worried about what their parents might say or what their friends might say, peer pressure. And the unbelieving, people who don't believe in God, the so-called atheists, the so-called agnostics, unbelievers, people who don't and who refuse to believe in Christ Jesus, and the abominable, these are the nasty, corrupt, wicked, evil people who go around killing others, committing acts of homosexuality. The Bible calls homosexuality an abomination, abominable activity, therefore. You say, "I hate you from now on." That's okay. You heard the truth today. I'm not preaching for fame or fortune. If I were doing that, I would be preaching a whole different message. And murderers, the Bible says, all murderers are going to hell if they don't trust Christ as Savior. And whoremongers, people who have sex with people that they're not married to, male and female, going to hell, going to the lake of fire. And sorcerers, people who practice voodoo, practice witchcraft, practice sorcery. There are many people doing that today. Some folks living by the zodiac. Anything that's not of God in that space is witchcraft, sorcery. And idolaters, all people who put anything before God or anybody before God. Some people love golf more than they love God. Instead of going to church on Sunday mornings, they go to the golf course. There are some people who love their car more than they love God. There are some people who love women more than they love God, or they love a man more than they love God. Some folk love their children more than they love God, not realizing God is the one who gave them the children. And then all liars, people, you know who they are. And if God did not get you on the other ones, God has got you, I believe, on this one. You've told a lie before. It may have been a little white lie, but it was still a lie. Might have been a little black lie, but it was still a lie. And all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Could it be a warning from God that there is a place that is a lake of fire for people who refuse to trust Christ as Savior? Now, hell is bad news. The Bible says, which is the second death. Hell is bad news. Hell, the lake of fire, is a terrible thing. You should not want to go there, and you should not go there if you can avoid it. And so here's the good news. here's how you can avoid going to the lake of fire, and you can go to heaven, where it's going to be wonderful and cool and pleasant beyond measure. So here's the good news. Jesus Christ himself, yes, the same one who preached on hell, preached on heaven and how you can get there. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died. He went through our hell so that we would not go to hell. And he rose again on the third day. And all you have to do is believe on him. Trust in him. Surely, preacher, there's more than that. No, just believe on Christ. Trust in Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He was buried and rose again on the third day. With your mouth, confess and call upon God to save your soul based upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you that God is more eager to save you than you are to be saved. I assure you of that. That's how loving our God is. I don't understand why he loves us, but I thank God for loving such wretched, wicked failures as we are. I know you don't like hearing that, but that's what we are. Admit it. Confess it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to help you. Pray that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Somebody helped me nearly 40 years ago. His name was Michael Lewis. And I'm here to help you. Bow your head right where you are, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to save you. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I know that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by being dishonest, by lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, by even stealing things that don't belong to me. Holy Father, God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn away from my old life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For I pray in your name, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you're now saved from hell, the lake of fire, and you're on your way to heaven to be with God in Jesus Christ forever, the place of peace and joy and happiness forever. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend of mine, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. Thank you for being with us on the day of the 300th message in the series, Praying Through the Bible. And thank you for being with us many times over these past almost 6 years. Let us all give God the glory, the praise, and the honor that thousands upon thousands of folk are praying more now and understanding the power of prayer across this nation and around the globe because of this series. And we give him the praise and the honor. Pray for us until Jesus comes, as we will continue to do this by his grace. God loves you, and we love you. And may God bless you real good. We'll see you next time.